And the thought of continuously running a business on a deficit sounds pretty unsustainable. But congratulations, we're all living in just such a business. Yesterday, we celebrated Earth Overshoot Day, but don't bring out the champagne just yet, because it marks the point in each year where we're no longer operating within the Earth's ability to regenerate itself. So continuing the business analogy, it's like eating into your savings, or worse, accumulating even more debt. And in this case, you can't just print more money to solve it. Joining me now is doctoral researcher Bishal Benya to break it down for us and talk to us a little bit about the use of materials by humans. Thanks very much for coming in.
So yesterday was Earth Overshoot Day, and it means that, you know, the rate at which we are getting environmental commodities from environment, it is more than, you know, the regenerative capacity of our environment. So we still have about 5 months to go for this year, and we have already used resources that we should have used within a year. And it means that within this year, in 2018, we will need about 1.7 times the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, we are in a situation where after 2018, we will be in a situation where our Earth, it won't be able to supply the total resource need.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do we actually measure this? How do you actually calculate this limit that we're talking about?
Researchers, they have their own methodology to calculate this
Overshoot Day, yeah?
Yeah. So researchers, they usually bank on the data from last 61 years, and it's calculated based on, you know, how much resources the Earth can produce. It's mm-hmm. called bi-capacity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how much resources the human being, you know, requires in a typical year.
Right. And so what's actually classified as renewable in this context? So, like, what would be a renewable use of resources?
If you talk about renewable resources, then, you know, typically it's defined as resources that regenerates within a, you know, within a span of a life of a human being. Mm-hmm. The natural capital that supplies us with the, you know, the environmental commodities, you know, it generates with time. Mm-hmm. So we get resources from the environment, right? Mm-hmm. Our extraction rate should be such that, you know, it should be lower than that of, you
of
know,
course.
The regenerative rate. But we are not doing so. Like, if you take example of 2018, then we have already, you know, exceeded the mm-hmm. the quantity of resource that's needed in a year. And, you know, we still have like 5 months remaining to
right.
end this year. Yeah.
So now some of your own work and research has focused on material footprints in Nepal and Bangladesh, yep. if I understand correctly. Can you tell us a little bit about the sort of material usage situation in those areas?
Well, I've been studying, you know, the material use and energy use in those countries. Actually, I wanted to understand, you know, how the, you know, things like resource efficiency and material efficiency has been evolving in those countries, and, you know, what are the factors that are changing those. So I'm, you know, basically studying the dynamic attributes of resource efficiency, and based on my study, you know, that collected data from last 25 years, I found that, you know, even though those countries, they are classified as low-income countries by the mm-hmm. World Bank, their resource consumption has been increasing quite a lot. For example, in case of Nepal, their total resource consumption, it has increased by about nine times compared to, you know, what they had in 1990, and about seven times for Bangladesh.
That's pretty huge. Yeah,
that's pretty huge for, you know, a small country
yes,
that has a
absolutely.
Huge population. But the good thing is that, you know, they have started to focus a lot on efficiency, which means that, you know, even though their absolute resource consumption has been increasing, their footprints, as well as, you know, because of all those efficiency measures, their you know, relative consumption, it has been decreasing. So, for example, I would like to talk about, you know, a term called decoupling of, you know, environmental impact from economic growth. So, for example, for these countries, the economic growth is happening quite well, and the rate of economic growth, it's it's quite larger than the rate of increase of resource use, which means that decoupling is happening. We are able to reduce our environmental impact, but it doesn't mean that, you know, we are doing enough. So, you know, in order to reduce our rate of consumption or, you know, rate of extracting environmental commodity from environment, we need to do absolute decoupling, which means that, you know, economic growth, it should follow a plot trend line, and the resource consumption, you know, the emissions, the GHG emissions and all, you know, the environmental impact sort of thing, it should go downward.
Yeah. So we use fewer resources relative to our growth. So how does Australia stand sort of amongst other countries in terms of its decoupling, or in terms of how it's going with that?
So if you take an example of Australia, I would like to compare Australia with other OECD countries like, you know, Germany, UK, countries like, you know, Sweden, Norway, and even Japan and United States. So Australia is one of the, you know, probably worst performing country in terms of, you know, doing decoupling, if you, you know, compare with other similar countries. But there are ample of opportunities for Australia because, you know, even though the population is growing here in Australia, you know, the trend of, you know, incorporating environmental issues, you know, by industry, by government and all related stakeholders, you know, the concept is evolving here. You know, people are talking a lot about, you know, plastic bans, waste issues, you know, circular economy and all. So, yeah, I think things have started to happen, but to, you know, to materialize that or to realize that in practice, you know, we need to do a lot more.
And there's also the sense that it's all happening pretty slowly considering how like big a deal it is, right? Like that this sort of change will come way too late to actually, you know, help us sort of deal with the, like resource loss and global warming and stuff like that. So you say that people are starting to talk about it now, but like it seems like it's pretty late to start thinking about that.
I mean, it's always late to talk about climate change because, I mean, we have started seeing, you know, a lot of impacts related to climate change. So it's already late. But yeah, I mean, now we are talking about, you know, bringing the global average temperature 2 degrees below, you know, below to what it was in pre-industrialization pre-industrialization period.
So our
target should be such that, you know, we should be aiming for that, and to, you know, to achieve our target in bringing that down below, as, you know, as stipulated by our Paris Agreement, and then we have sustainable development goals and all focusing on all these environmental issues, you know, climate change issues. The best part is that, you know, we have got resources, technologies, and human power who are quite equipped with dealing with all these issues. And now, it's always later.
It's just a matter of getting it together and just doing it.
But I mean, as I told earlier, that we are a little bit late, but, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, we care much about that now, and to, you know, we should still do it.
Thank you so much for coming in and joining us this morning on the program.
Thank you very much for
absolutely
inviting me. Thank you very much.
This is doctoral researcher Bishal Benya talking about Earth Overshoot Day, which happened yesterday, where we exceeded our renewable resource allocation for the year and now are eating into effectively permanent, you know, damage to the Earth.